two things I will carry in my pockets at the end.
Yeah, you guys were always the cool radio station with the, like, fun magazine and everything.
That's
the
right, Discorder.
Wishes we had, yeah. We always wanted a magazine like that back in the day.
Yeah.
My campus radio roots go deep.
We just actually reformatted the Discorder, so it's now in this new cool zine size, and we're really excited about it.
Yeah, that was always the cool thing when it came into the station. We're always like, oh man, this is so cool. How do we get this going? And it's really cool that it's all, like, we've been sponsored and everything.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's really fun. This is Basha Bulat, and you're listening to CRTR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
So terrifying. Summer is as faded as a long cicada call. Memories so bright, I got a squint just to recall. Regret the words I've bitten. We'll be right back.
Hello, 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 hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. I'm Simon Welton. Coming up right away is the White Noise half hour comedy. Coming up right after that is, as always, the White Noise after show. And tonight I'm going to be joined by Mark Hughes for a little chat. So please, please stay tuned for that. And if you have any questions for Mark or myself or anything about the show, remember you can send them in to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. Or you can tweet us at WhiteNoiseUBC. So without further ado, here is White Noise.
Warning, the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another installment of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and once again we delve into the brilliant and bizarre corners of the radio universe. This show is brought to you in part by Porta Potties. Whatever you do, don't look down. First up tonight is a bit of a scuffle between some tough guys.
Hey you looking at my girl?
That's a girl?
Oh, you think you're a funny man?
No, I'm a tough guy.
No, you're not. I'm a tough guy.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Once I killed a man.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I totally served this guy, yeah? I served him peanuts. He was deadly allergic.
So what? I'm a real criminal. I stole this pen.
That's not a real criminal. I'm a real criminal. When I go through the self-checkout at the supermarket, I never pay for the grocery bag.
So what? I'm a madman. Look at all these scars.
Oh, yeah? Where are they from?
Cooking with my shirt off. I told you, I'm crazy.
Yeah, well, that's all crazy. I'm crazy. I play my Wii without using the wrist strap.
That'll make you tough. Being strong as a bear does. I once wrestled a shark.
A real shark?
Oh, yeah, it was real. Dead, but real.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm more of a beast than that. I once lifted the entire side of a fridge while my mum cleaned under it.
Oh, yeah, so what? I'm so tough, my mum's kitchen wouldn't dare get dirty.
Oh, sure, buddy, you're all tall. Where's the action? I'm a real psycho. I once knocked out a librarian's teeth. They were fake teeth, but I dislodged the glue.
You think beating up librarians makes you tough? I once knocked the crap out of a lunch lady. Top that.
Fred? Grey? What are you doing?
I was just about to show this little man what a tough guy looks like.
Oh, yeah?
Don't you dare start fighting. You're both over 80. You're likely to break a hip.
Sorry, Deirdre.
Sorry.
Now come inside the care home. It's nearly time for strip bingo.
I'd rather not. There's a few too many players with colostomy bags for my liking.
Yeah.
Ah, poor lads. When I get to that age, someone please still talk to me. Hang on. Nobody talks to me now. Next up tonight is everyone's favourite diarist, Terence Tripoli.
Dear Diary, today started like any other day. I awoke to the sound of an alarm, though this time it was a rape alarm. Apparently, I had been sleepwalking again, and Mrs. Havisham next door wasn't impressed. I told her it was very cold in her apartment, but I don't think she believed me. Do women not know about growers and showers? After making my way back to my apartment, I re-evaluated my choice of always sleeping butt naked. Once home, I made some breakfast. I wanted some eggs, but once again, my lazy, useless rooster has failed to lay any eggs. I was all out of toast as well, so I just had some bread with some jam. Next, I decided to go for a walk in the park. I like to watch the children play on the swings. Reminds me of better times, but people don't like it when strangers watch their children. So I brought my binoculars and I watched them from the bushes. A small dog came to join me in the bushes and I stroked it for about 10 minutes before I realised it was a possum. Its true identity became quite clear when it sunk its teeth into my neck. Fortunately, years of watching the Red Green Show has taught me what to do when a possum bites you. You see, the trick is to beat the living shit out of it. This technique served me well, but it did seem to upset some of the children in the park as they watched me crush the possum's skull with my binoculars. My hiding spot now revealed, I had to move on. So I ventured downtown to do some window shopping. I found a shop I had never been in. It was called Lush. The product looked amazing, but Diary, that
was the worst fudge I have ever tasted. I couldn't even finish the second bar I bought. I ended up giving it to a homeless person. He didn't seem very grateful, though. Since I was downtown, I decided to go have a look in the aquarium. I've always had an affinity for fish, especially with chips. Alive, they're pretty interesting, too. I used to have this goldfish, Dave, but he died after I tried to breed him with the cat. I just wanted some catfish. The cat just wanted to murder Dave. Maybe the cat needed more foreplay, I don't know. The aquarium was busy, and I do suffer from acute claustrophobia, so I made sure to fart incessantly to give myself lots of breathing room. The sharks are beautiful, especially the hammerhead ones. Though they make crap tools, my gazebo still falls over in strong winds. The main attraction, though, at this aquarium is the killer whale. This poor animal looks far too small for the cage they keep it in, and he just looked bloody miserable. So as I was leaving, I went and spoke to the aquarium manager, just to let him know how much of an asshole I think he is. He seemed quite bored by my complaint, and informed me that I was the 80th person today to tell him that. I asked if this bothered him, and he replied, "I still get less abuse here than when I worked in retail." Fair enough. Bored with the fish and the constant farting I had to do, I left the aquarium and decided impulsively to head to the beach. I obviously hadn't packed my Speedo, but no problem. My wife fronts are basically the same thing. I mean, in hindsight, the ones with the stains weren't the best ones to wear, but only very fussy girls would be bothered like with something like that. You know, I mean, it's basically an automatic person filter. It's really a bit of genius. The beach was surprisingly quiet, as it was a gorgeous 13 degrees Celsius that day. I found a patch of sand that seemed to have the least amount of discarded needles and diapers, and due to the lack of towel, I laid my trousers down to cover what I now suspect was not a discarded, uneaten Mars bar. I tanned for a few minutes, but as I had no book and I'd already read everything in my wallet, I decided to go for a swim. The water was refreshing, to say the least. My girlish screams were definitely noticed by some of the other beach patrons. I finally acclimatized and swam out to where it was deep enough to swim. As I stopped to rest, I looked back at the beach and noticed a young boy near my clothes. Suspicious of him, I shouted and waved at a middle-aged gentleman on the beach. He noticed me and looked across at the boy. The boy stopped peering at my possessions and walked off. The middle-aged man walked over to my things and robbed them all. I attempted to swim back. Fortunately, I only know the backstroke, so by the time I got to shore, I honestly have no idea where he went. Without another option, I walked home in my sopping wet tighty-whities, and no one stopped to help me, except three people sort of drove by slowly to insult me, and, well, one man did stop, but I didn't think that getting in the back of his white van was a great idea. When I finally got home, my landlord was waiting for me outside my door. She didn't look impressed, and apparently Mrs. Haversham had told her about my nighttime wanderings. I tried to explain what had happened, but she wouldn't listen, and so she evicted me on the spot. So now, diary, I'm homeless, I'm walletless, and I have no girlfriend, though the last one is not anything new.
Thank you, Terence. We will continue our adventure with Mr. Tripoli next week. Next up is a theatre piece about communication issues. As a Brit in Canada, I can sympathise with the language barrier some people feel exists in Vancouver. Look, guys, they can't help it. They don't speak properly. It's because they were born in Canada.
Oh, can't we just go in an order?
No, go through the drive-thru. Having all three kids strapped to their seats while they eat can only make things easier.
Oh, but I hate talking to the box. They never understand me.
Well, then just speak clearly.
It's my accent. It's like I'm speaking a different sodding language.
It's because you bloody are.
Hi, welcome to Obese Burger. How may I take your order?
Hi, can I get, three chubby kids meals? And, what do you want, Shannon?
Ed, I'm on this new diet, you know that. I can't order this stuff, so I'll just eat yours.
Alright, whatever, fine. And I will have a fat fucker meal, troll-sized, with no tomato, please.
With no what?
With no tomato, please.
I'm sorry, sir. I can't understand you.
Oh, for fuck's sake. No tomato!
No kielbasa? There's no kielbasa on that burger. That's the obese bastard.
Oh my god, I'm going to scream.
Ed, just do the trick.
It's so undignified.
Hold your goddamn nose.
Fine. Can I have no tomato?
No problem, sir. Your total comes to $22.50. Have a nice day.
Yeah, thanks. Ah, drive-thrus. Is there anything more American? Well, maybe cheese in a can. That piece was brought to you by Mouthwash, the lazy man's floss. Next up tonight is an excerpt from an interview with textiles mogul Holly Jane.
Good evening, and welcome to Politics Tomorrow. I'm Victor Valdez, and tonight I am joined by textiles mogul and two-time world goat milking champion, Holly Jane.
Hi, Victor. Wonderful to be here.
My pleasure. So you are here tonight to talk about your latest project. Tell the listeners about it.
Well, to be honest, it's quite straightforward. I'm hoping to bring textile jobs back to the first world.
And how will you do that?
I'm opening up Canada's first sweatshop right here in Vancouver.
A sweatshop? Why?
Well, people these days are really worried about climate change, and the transportation of clothes from third world sweatshops to retailers in North America uses a lot of fuel, so by putting sweatshops here, we're saving the environment. Plus, think of all the jobs it will create.
But sweatshops are a despicable business practice that exploits the most vulnerable people in the world. Canadians won't support such businesses.
Then why do they shop at H&M, Nike, The Gap, Sears, Joe Fresh, Victoria's Secret, Walmart?
I don't think anyone shops at Sears.
That was a bad example, perhaps, but the rest aren't. If having a sweatshop in Vancouver is objectionable, why is one in Bangladesh not?
Well, out of sight, out of mind, right?
Exactly. And don't worry, we intend to build a huge fence to hide our factory from sight, so everyone can feel good about their surprisingly affordable purchases.
Thank you, Holly and Victor. That piece was brought to you by Nike. Just do it. But don't think too hard about it. Next up tonight is a man in a library. Hold on to your seats.
Hello there. Could you tell me where to find a book?
No.
Well, that's very rude.
I'm not a librarian. Go ask the person at the desk.
Oh, fine then. Damn city people. Ugh. Hello there.
Hi. Please hand me your library card, and how can I help?
Okay. Here it is. And could you tell me where to find books on how to kill someone?
Okay, sure. Marty, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, are you looking for premeditated or self-defense?
Oh, premeditated, definitely.
Okay, and high-tech or low-tech?
Is a chainsaw high-tech?
Actually, it's filed under novelty items. Not a particularly practical method, more for showmanship or at least show-offs.
Oh, so you're unimpressed with my choice of weapon?
Well, it's just, if I was gonna kill someone, and I was gonna make them watch, I would use a surgical knife, and I would carefully slit their skin all over their body, and watch the red streams of life ooze from them slowly but painfully till they fade out like a dying light.
Do you wanna go out with me? Go on, just give me 20 minutes.
No.
I'll go get the book, I'll go kill my wife, and then we can go for Bellinis.
No thanks. I don't think it would end well.
Oh, what, because of the killing thing? No. This is honestly just a one-time thing. I mean, why do you think I need the book? I'm an amateur. Trust me. Usually, I honestly resolve things in a much less murderous way.
It's not that. It's because of your taste in books. Look at this list. You took out the autobiography of Kim Kardashian 6 times.
It took me a while to finish. It's difficult prose.
And who reads self-help books written by Hulk Hogan?
Just because you don't understand Hulkamania, lady.
Okay, whatever. And the cherry on the cake? Last week, you took out Animal Farm.
So that's a good book.
It was the abridged version.
I just needed the highlights.
It's a 120-page novella.
Whatever, can you just point me to the chainsaw murder books, please?
With pleasure. They are in section 12, over there. Mind out, though, that the bookshelf is covered in some random people's blood.
Oh, well, obviously that's not a problem, as I'm covered in blood already.
Marty should be careful. People can track you when you read things at the library, but I'm too clever for that. I do my top secret reading on the internet. Next up tonight is a coffee bar in Seattle.
You know what, Sue?
What?
Men just aren't men anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Men used to be men, but now they're just trying to be all individual and independent.
Yeah.
Where is all their masculinity gone?
Right? Good question. They all used to be all rugged and protective, and they would keep the rapists away.
Yeah. And now they're all, I have feelings. I like romantic comedies, too. Let me do the cooking.
It's like so, it's so messed up. Men used to come into a room, slap a woman once, stick his tongue down her throat, and then she had to marry him.
That's how my grandparents met.
Right? My grandma went the traditional Hungarian route.
What's that?
They traded her for a cow.
See, there is real culture. Real tradition.
I know. I want my man to smoke Marlboros, drink dark beers, grow a perfect beard, and build anything that I ask for. I mean, is that too much to ask?
Of course it isn't. It's their role in a home. It creates two halves of a whole. And there is only one way to make the circle complete. Only one single unshakable idea of a life and culture, and anything else is completely abhorrent and ridiculous because everyone before us is completely right.
Exactly. Now, okay. Now help me choose a takeout menu because I cannot be bothered to cook tonight.
Thank you, ladies. I only tuned out some of that. That piece was brought to you in part by e-cigarettes, for people who want to look like they smoke a magic flute. Next up tonight is the only online dating sensation, Internet Love.
Good evening, and welcome back to Internet Love, the show where we follow couples from instant messaging to clitoral massaging. Tonight we follow the first date of Brock and Stephanie. Let's meet them. Hi, Stephanie.
Hello, Sam.
Tell the listeners a little about you.
Sure. I'm 26. I'm in Mensa.
Nice.
I graduated top of my class at Stanford. I'm a neuroscientist and I work for Yale.
Wow. Holy shit. Well, that is all pretty amazing. And what are you looking for in Brock?
A man who is going to date me has to be educated, handsome, dedicated to his work, and a decent-sized cock helps.
Fair enough. And how do you expect tonight to go?
Well, that depends.
On what?
If Brock is a twat or not.
Fair enough. Let's see if Brock is a twat. Stephanie, you stay right there. Hey, Brock, how are you doing?
Yo, what's up, dude? I'm so pumped for this.
Oh, brilliant. So, tell the listeners a little about you.
Well, I was all-state wrestling champ in high school, went to Texas Tech for university, wrestled in the Nationals, but I blew out my knee, and now I work at a gas station.
Ooh, that's gonna hurt.
Well, still got my communications degree, whatever the hell that means.
Uh-huh. And does Stephanie know you work in a gas station?
Technically, yes. My online profile says I work as a petroleum and snacks specialist.
Oh, yeah. I bet that gets the ladies wet.
Oh, yeah. Chicks always salivate when they see all the candy I can steal for them.
So, besides wrestling, what else do you like to do?
I love to ride motocross. I play a lot of online poker. And my favorite pastime is drinking.
Oh, are you an alcoholic, Brock?
Oh, no, I don't drink alcohol. I just really love drinking anything, like water or soda, paint, whatever.
Okay, and what are you hoping to get out of tonight's date?
Well, I'm always DTF. I'm a dude, right?
Right, or perhaps you're the missing link. But anyway, let's get you two to your first date location. So, you each got to pick one date for tonight, and we are going to do both of them. We are doing Stephanie's choice first, so here we are at the chess club. Have fun!
Do you know how to play chess?
Is it like Monopoly?
No.
Or Buckaroo?
No.
No, then.
Well, I could teach you. You're intelligent. You're a college graduate, correct?
Oh, yeah. My mom proudly displays my Bachelor of Communications.
Uh-huh.
What's your degree in?
Developmental neuroscience.
Mental, like crazy people?
No.
But you're a scientist.
No.
Then you're a neuro?
Yes, I'm a neuro.
Cool. What's that like?
Oh, rewarding, challenging, fulfilling, and sucking the life out of me.
Oh, wow. Sounds intense. You stress out a lot?
Yes, well, my grant money hinges on me actually achieving a breakthrough this year, unlike the last 5 years, and I think I have 4 stomach ulcers currently, so... Yes, what's your job like?
Piece of cake. I work nights at a gas station, so I mainly watch Netflix, and when people do come up to the little window, I pretend not to understand what they want, just to fuck with them. Stop too many repeat customers, and that way I gotta watch more Netflix undisturbed.
Fascinating. And you were satisfied with that?
Yeah, I blew out my knee. I lost my greatest strength. I'm just lucky I live in 2015. In medieval times, if someone like me blew out their knee, I would have been shot like a horse.
Oh, dear God.
And you being so clever, you would have been burned as a witch.
No. Without my anxiety meds, I would have never made it past 20.
Nah, they didn't have anything to stress out about in those days.
Except being pillaged and raped.
Sorry to interject, guys, but we are on a budget on this show, so we only paid for 5 minutes of chess, so it's time to make our way to the second date. Here we are at Brock's Choice. Enjoy, guys!
What do you think?
Oh, it's what I thought it would be.
I can't believe you have never been to Hooters. You are in for a treat. The waitresses here are the best.
Hi, welcome to Hooters. What can I get you guys?
I will have a virgin pina colada, a virgin margarita, and a virgin rum and coke.
And for you?
Oh, what the hell. Make me the horriest daiquiri you can.
No problem. I will make you one just like my mama used to make.
I'm sure you will.
Isn't this place great?
So what is it that you like about it so much?
I don't know. I just... When I come here, I feel happy. I'm not totally sure why, I guess.
I could hazard a guess.
The seats are comfy. Maybe it's that.
Oh, it's something near your pants, for sure.
Here you guys go. Would you like some food?
Ladies first?
No, I'm not hungry.
I think he meant me.
All right.
I will have the lots of tots.
Great choice. It's so refreshing to see a woman who doesn't care what she looks like. And for you, sir?
I will have the buffalo shrimp, the sliders, the fried pickles, the fish tacos, and the nachos. But put it all in one big bowl and mix it around a little.
Oh, dear God.
So you want the Rochambeau?
Sorry, I forgot the name.
No problem.
That sounds awful.
It's a flavor party where everyone's invited. Trust me.
All right, it's your meal anyway.
No, you have to try it, or I can kick you in the crotch legally.
I'm sorry, what?
That's why it's called the Rochambeau.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that all of that is illegal, but I will play along to avoid injury.
That's the spirit. See, we are on an adventure. This is living. Forget the musty old checkers.
Chess.
Whatever. Look, they have junior hockey on. Let's watch the children fight!
Oh, I guess when in Rome...
Okay, the date is over. Stephanie and Brock are leaving Hooters. Let's catch up with them separately, see how it all went. So how do you think it went, Brock?
Well, it started a little slow, but she opened up and we got to know each other. I think she really enjoyed going somewhere new. I really opened up her eyes to the world around her... And that's just the kind of guy I am.
Uh-huh, sure. So, second date?
Fuck yeah! I'm down. Anytime.
Cool. Let's check in with Stephanie. How did it go, Steph?
Well, to be honest, to begin with, I thought I had walked into a living nightmare. But, honestly, Brock isn't so bad. He's half decent to look at, and he isn't very bright, but he could easily be trained. He could be my stupid puppy, just waiting at home for me to come rub his belly and take him for a walk. Maybe that's all I need. I get enough intellectual stimulation from my work. Why do I need an Einstein in the bedroom? Yeah, screw it. I'm bagging me a bottom feeder.
He can suck scraps off me. I'm important enough for the both of us. And, you know, the Rochambeau was pretty good.
Well then, okay, cool. We actually made a match, I think. That's a first. That's our show, listeners. Join us again for more Internet Love.
Whatever makes you happy. Takes all sorts to make the world as bizarre and as beautiful as it is. Well, that's our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, featuring the voice talents of Conan Ashelput, Sierra Wiley, Victoria Bass, and Simon Welton. Music and sound effects by Max Cheers.
Métis in Space, live from the UBC Longhouse.
May 19th, 1 to 4 p.m. Join us for a special live taping of the podcast
Métis in Space
from the UBC Longhouse on unceded Musqueam territory. Admission is free and light refreshments will be provided. This May 19th, 1 to 4 p.m. And thank you to this event's sponsors, the First Nations and Indigenous Studies Program, the Vancouver Indigenous Media Arts Festival, and CITR.
All right, there we go. That was the White Noise After Show. My name is Simon Welton. You're listening to the White Noise After Show now. Joined in the studio today by the brilliant Mark Hughes, not unfortunately the Welsh football legend, but rather the comedy legend in the making, hopefully, in Vancouver. Say hello, Mark.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great to have him in the studio here. We're actually going to go quickly to a song, but we're going to come back then straight away and start chatting. So again, if you do have any questions for us, send them into whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. And also, you can tweet us at whitenoiseubc. And also, if you want to check out the best of White Noise, as always, you can do that at whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com. But we'll be right back after this track. Coming up right away is Weed with a Thousand Poor. Cool.
I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
All right, there we go. So we're back now. So I'm joined in the studio by Mark Hughes today. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a little clip from him a couple weeks ago. Here we go. All right. That's the wrong one. Sorry, I had this loaded up and then... All right, here we go. Cool. All right, so this is Mark Hughes performing at Yuck Yucks.
How are we all doing, ladies and gentlemen? By a round of applause. Who here knows who Jason Rouse is?
No.
Nice. Holy fuck, I guess I'll have to warm you up for him then. True story, Jason Rouse is probably the most influential comedian in my life. If I'd never seen him, I never would have started doing stand-up comedy. So this is a very special night for me to be opening for him. Thank you. It would be comparable to my mom meeting Bill Cosby. Less rape, though. I work for the family business, and the best part about working for the family business is going to the staff parties and finding someone who's down to fuck. By round of applause, we're in Vancouver. Who here likes to get high? This one time I was getting high in a barn.
Yeah.
Good for the prairie folk. I dropped it. You'd be amazed how easy it is to find a needle in a haystack when you're a heroin addict. Absolutely true story, not joking at all. I'm a recovering heroin addict and I've been clean and sober for 8 years. Better than applause? Heroin. That shit is so fucking good. To this day, I love that stuff so much. To this day, I watch Intervention like fat people watch Chopped. I'm not going to indulge necessarily, but I want to stay current. Oh, you can do that with a light bulb, eh? It only costs $10 to get a girl to do that. Girlfriend might do it for less. I was pretty young when I started doing dope. I was 15. I was a runaway kid, downtown east side, the whole thing. I was so young that I knew how to stick something inside myself before I knew how to stick myself inside someone else. And, you know, I got into some shit, and, I played cops and robbers, and I took it a little too seriously, because I used real cops and real guns, right? So I ended up in prison, and they gave me 9 years. True story, you can Google that, Mark Hughes. Every time the website gets a hit, I make a bit of money off of it. You're helping a recovering addict get on his feet, all right? I did 7 of the 9 years. And my dad is still mad at me. He's like, you can never finish anything you start, eh, Mark? So when I got out, I had to get my shit together. And one of the things I had to do was get a driver's license. Because I'm just like you guys. I want to drive a car. You don't have to start with a screwdriver. And day the driving test comes, driving instructor gets in. He says, I just want you to drive like you normally would. So I said, okay, and I put on my ski mask, punched him out, and robbed him. I was like, oh, damn, is that going to count against me? Because I forgot to shoulder check. So I left with my license and his. All right. So like I said, I'm in recovery. And I go to these meetings that help me stay clean, basically because they're full of people I never would have gotten high with in the first place. They're more Wolf of Wall Street, Leo. I'm more Basketball Diaries, Leo. You know what I mean?
All right, there you go. So as you may have gathered by now, Mark Hughes is not your average comedian. I mean, I would say he's probably the only comic I've heard of who does less drugs now than when he started doing comedy.
Yeah, I'm doing it backwards.
Which is, yeah, probably the healthiest thing for him. So why don't we get into that, though, Led? So obviously, it was recovery and then comedy came after.
Yeah.
So how did those two sort of come together?
Okay, I'll go back just a bit. Like the clip said, I started doing drugs, like hard drugs, downtown east side, etc., when I was 15, in and out of jail till I was about 27. So I got out of prison, and then I got introduced to Facebook. I didn't even know what Facebook was when I got out. And I guess someone was asking me about that today, and they said, when did you know you were funny? Was it some like your whole life or anything like that? And not so much. I was always a bit of a performer because I craved attention. And the funny part, I would say, came while I was in prison because, you know, you got to pass the time somehow. And just like when you're with your buddies in the locker room or the construction site or anything like that, when you're sitting in the cell or in the yard or anything like that, you're just telling jokes. And we just try and out joke each other, basically. So I carried that on out when I got out. Since I've been out of prison, I've always had to joked about stuff. And, you know, the fallout from that lifestyle really screwed my head up, so I kind of needed humor to take the edge off with, like, having to adjust back to society. Started telling jokes on Facebook. People thought they were funny. Then a couple years ago, that clip you heard was me opening up for Jason Rouse. I saw him at a show at the Rio Theater in Vancouver, and he did his style of comedy is pretty edgy stuff, and I went, oh, people will pay to see that? Oh, I can do comedy then, probably, right? And then about maybe 18 months later, someone said I needed to start doing something creative with my life, right? And I need a creative outlet of sorts. And I think they meant like oil painting or pottery or something. So I decided I'm going to finally do this comedy thing. And I took one of those classes May 2nd, 2013, and I've been doing it ever since.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So when you write, obviously you like to sort of fall back on that experience and sort of is one thing you talk about quite a
yeah.
lot. Is that your one of your only inspirations, or like how do you go about writing for you? Like how do you go about it?
It's one inspiration. I guess where a lot of my joke writing, if I'm talking about some of that like crime or drugs or prison or any of that, is like how does. For the most part, I lead a pretty normal life these days. Like, on paper, I'm normal. No one would even know. But my mind isn't exactly out of the battlefield yet, if you know what I mean. So sometimes it's like, oh, wouldn't that be funny? Like, I have a joke about going to the club. And entering the club is very similar to prison because you're getting patted down and searched and then, like, scrutinized on the way in by, like, groups of people, and they're kind of like cliques, and no one will talk to you, and like it's they're mean, and you know, and so I use that as an example of other areas of my life as, hey, isn't this is weird or really normal kind of mundane activity, and I think, oh, what would happen if you injected, no pun intended, some kind of heroin situation into this right now? Like, what would a junkie do?
Yeah.
Or what would I have done? Right? And I think it's hilarious.
Well, it's interesting you say that because what I think you're tapping into there is a commonality in a lot of comics, which is this outsider perspective.
Right.
Which is whether it's because you suffer from depression or you have darknesses there, or it's because you've had these sort of other country experiences or other sort of society experiences, really. You know, jail is like its own culture
right.
and its own mentality. So, yeah, I could totally see how that would feed into what you're doing.
Exactly. And that's not all I write about, though. I like my sense of humor tends to be, I guess, what people call dark and dirty. I only found out it was dark and dirty when I started doing comedy, really. I just joke about what I think is funny, and it just happens to be sort of what people tend to get really offended at sometimes, right?
Yeah, and it could just be, like, I think it is you bringing up and everything, like, because I tell jokes, and sometimes people go, that's outrageous, and I'm like, well, my mother thought it was funny.
Right.
You know, yeah. And so, you know, it's all relative, really.
Right.
Yeah, so, with comedy for you, though, like, what does it give you? Does it give you, like, because it gives different things to different people, right. I think. So what is it that you draw from it?
Okay, it gives me something to, it's a bunch of different things. It gives me, it takes the edge off.
Mm-hmm.
I have an outlet now for the stuff that goes on in my head, and I can get a positive positive feedback from it. You know,
right.
What I mean?
So sort of instant gratification.
Instant gratification and fulfillment from it. So it's like it's a storm in my mind, and I can say it. And yeah, sometimes it's offensive, but some people enjoy it. So it's a positive feedback loop. It's a hobby. But I'm not a hobbyist, I don't think, because I take this really seriously. But it's something that gives me something to do in my spare time, which is because of comedy, I don't have much spare time anymore. But and you know what? Because I get to joke about this stuff, being in prison, being a recovering heroin, joking about how hard, like, reintegration, as it were, is, it and people responding positively to it, it gives me a feeling of, well, okay, there. Now I have a place in society. Because
yeah.
That used to be a hard thing for me. Was I never... One of the reasons I spent so much time in prison the last time was because I didn't think there was a place for me out here. My life had become so screwed up, and I didn't know what normal was anymore, and I just thought, I'm never going to make it out there. So doing comedy... Because my first few years out of prison, I was stumbling around trying to find, like, yeah, I was out, I wasn't committing crime, I wasn't doing drugs, I was law-abiding, I was paying taxes. But I didn't feel like I belonged out here. Comedy makes me feel like I belong.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That
so,
really is.
Yeah, because I have something to provide. Here, Mark's the comic. Joe's the construction worker. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that means total sense. And you know, and I think this is one thing a lot of people talk about, lengthy prison sentences is a good thing. But these draconian sentences really, as you say, just isolate a lot of people from society, and it cuts, you know, it gives them enough time that their old life is no longer there, even if it was a good one.
I mean, we can get into penal politics, but I would say, by and large, the hardest part about doing time is getting out.
Yeah.
After, once you've done a certain amount.
Right,
and that's,
yeah.
That's different for everyone. Everyone reacts to it differently. But in my particular case, prison was easy. After the first few times, all my buddies are there anyway.
Right.
The rules in there, if you can grasp it, make more sense than they do out here. They really do. It's really black and white.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of, like, oh, you got to be polite in this and lie a little bit. And no, it's not really. You only lie if you want to pull one over on someone.
Right.
It's not just for social lubricant, right?
So there's not a lot of postmodernism
no,
going on.
No, no. And then that's another thing I've struggled with, this political correctness out here. Like, I'm just, I got out and I'm trying to learn how to just be like, you know, how do I pay a phone bill? How do I walk into a store and not steal something? And now you're telling me there's certain words I can't use, and like I said that too aggressively, and the funny thing is, in prison is not a politically correct environment, right?
No.
And it's not. There's undertones of or overtones or under whatever of racism, of homophobia, of all these things, but that's just like that's the culture there, and so you just talk a certain way, and it's not. It's not that people are coming necessarily from a hateful place. It's just that's the way it is
in
there.
Just the habituation of the
right.
of that, yeah.
So, and then I get out and they're like, okay, so on top of all this law-abiding shit, you're not allowed to talk this way, that way, this way, and you have to tone this down and like any kind of, and I was like, ugh. And one of the things I like about comedy is, theoretically, I can say whatever I want as long as it's funny, right? So... I don't have to watch my P's and Q's.
Totally. And there's probably a bit of comedy there too, just looking at like how sort of maybe we go a little too far with sort of worrying about semantics all the time.
Give you a perfect example. I was telling a joke one time about scorn. Some drugs came into the institution and I needed to get tobacco. Used to be the currency. It's not anymore because you can't smoke in prison. But anyway,
really?
Yeah, back then. So I needed to go to a loan shark in the joint. And he was a serial rapist, And I'm telling the story, and at one point I said, the problem with dealing with this guy, and his name was Bad Beef Barry. That's, you call him Bad Beef because it's a bad, bad beef means it's a, not a cool crime to be in on in prison, right? It has nothing to do with butcher practices or anything like that. And so he was a serial rapist, and the problem with dealing with Bad Beef Barry and borrowing money off of him was he turned gay when he was in prison. So the legacy continues.
Right, it was one way to get money.
Yeah, okay. And see, so a couple comics, this is at a workshop, jumped on me for saying turned gay. And I said, what? And they said, oh, well, homosexuality is not a choice. And you shouldn't say that because, like, and I said, we're talking about a serial rapist here. Why are you defending his sexual? Like, I don't understand this. Like, the guy doesn't care about choice anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's not top of his priority. Yeah,
and,
definitely.
And it, that stuff still blows my mind, right? Like, and so I ended up turning that into a joke. So I'm glad they did that because now I have a joke that's, I think, fairly funny. So
yeah, because it's true. Like, it's like if you're working at Shoppers Drug Mart, perhaps you've got a point.
Yeah.
In prison, it's not quite as important. But anyway, I think that's a good spot for us to go for another track, and then we'll come right back with a bit more chat. So we're actually going to go now for a bit of awesome Twin River. So this is coming back from Should the Light Go Out.
Thank you.
Art Center's God and the Indian explores one of Canada's darkest chapters, the residential school system. Celebrated playwright Drew Hayden Taylor's black humor illuminates this heartbreaking story of a Cree woman who cannot escape her past, on from May 20th to 30th. See firehallartcenter.ca for details.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What is Pilate? He fiddled well.
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Yep, Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Nightwatch Show on Sunya!
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
All right, there we go. I'm back in the studio. This is the White Noise After Show. I'm Simon Welton, and we are joined in the studio with Mark Hughes. And we were chatting about, we've been chatting with him for the last bit. We're going to talk about now, he's got an amazing show coming up that you guys should definitely get down to if you're into something a little darker and a little bit more sort of, you know, a little bit more edgy than you're used to in your sort of some of the more vanilla shows we get in town. So tell us all about this show.
It's on July 4th and it's called Comedy Shocker. And this particular show is called The Downward Spiral. It's at the Rickshaw Theater, which is 254 East Hastings. Many of you will know it.
Just off Main Street.
Yep, and which is, we only bring the classiest of venues. It's actually a nice venue. It's good for comedy.
Good bit of people watching, waiting in line.
Yeah,
outside.
Yeah. Well, you don't need a TV if you're down there, right? it's a show that my partner Jason Kriska and I started. We started it last year, and this will be our sixth one. We've sold out four of them, and then we had to move to the Rickshaw because we were getting all our venues were too small for the crowd we were drawing.
That's amazing.
And what's funny is when I first started thinking about this show, people told me it wouldn't work because people in Vancouver don't like this kind of comedy, right? And I was I don't think that's true. I think there are people, because I knew people, because this is what I like, right? And so we've just been growing and growing and growing, and people love it. It's an audience that comes specifically to see this stuff. Bit of controversy. We got kicked out of the venue we had scheduled for the second show. We got kicked out of 4 days before the show for being too offensive. Yeah. And it was pretty fun. It was a pain in the ass at the time, but it helped us what we're marketing is exactly that. We want to push the line. We want to push the edge, right? So it's a great show. If you're into dark and dirty or quote-unquote offensive edgy comedy, that's the show, and it's the only recurring one in Vancouver right now. You get the odd one-off, but we're the only one that keeps on doing it, and I know there's lots of people out there who want to see this type of comedy, and that's one of the reasons I'm glad I'm here tonight, so more people can hear about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, you're never going to see on CBC.
No.
Likes that, you know, the sort of in the same vein of, there's a lot of you out there who love the likes of people like Doug Stanhope,
right?
Who, yeah, he'll never get a HBO special because he's got far too much to say. And so, you know, if you're supporting that sort of style, this is the kind of show you
absolutely
need to go to.
Absolutely. Yeah. If this is the type of show that you're not going to see anywhere else in the city unless it's someone like Stanhope or Jeselnik comes into town.
Yeah.
Other than that. That's
funny enough, when he comes next, that's exactly where he's going to be playing, is the Rickshaw. So, this is definitely his spot. So who's going to be on the July 4th show, though?
I'm emceeing it, and our headliner is Kathleen McGee, who's has quite a few credits. Let me just list a couple of them off. Let me go. Kathleen's been on Just for Laughs, Winnipeg Comedy Festival, CBC Debaters. She's been on CBC. We also have my partner, Jason Kriska, will be doing a spot. We have a guy named Sean Cotsworth, who's really good. Sophie Buttle, who's a regular at the Comedy Mix.
Nice.
Nick Roy, who's...
Nick Roy.
Yeah, yeah. We like having him on our show because like he's so controversial and he's not allowed in so many different rooms, so he's just the guy we're looking for.
He's actually been on air a couple weeks ago.
I like Nick, and Reggie Reynolds from Kelowna. Yeah. Oh, no, Prince George, sorry. Prince George, yeah, yeah, he's going to come down, and hopefully he doesn't get too many fist fights.
He'll try. Yeah, and he will actually be on us, coming to see us in a couple of weeks too. So, yeah, definitely keep an eye out for Reggie on the White Noise show. So that's about all the time we have for today. So thank you again very much, Mark Hughes, for coming in today. It was a pleasure.
You're welcome.
That was a great conversation. I hope you enjoyed it too. We will be back next week for more White Noise. I'm going to be joined in the studio by the wonderful Daryl Brown. He's finally going to make it in after unfortunately not being able to pop in last week. So I'm really excited for that. Coming up next in the evening is the Synaptic Sandwich. So make sure you stay tuned for that. If you like your EDM and a little bit of dance music, it's going to be lovely. But we're going to leave you now with one last track from us. And it's a bit of punk because we don't do as much dance music on here because we're too cool. So this is Upper Step by Big Dick. I pull the trigger.